Have you ever been watching a movie and you see like a painting or a poster or something in the background
Yeah.
and you think like, huh, I wonder if they got permission to use that.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, and it's like, especially if it's like a famous artwork or something, you're like, did they really go through the trouble of getting the rights for that?
Right, or is it just like there for a second and they're hoping nobody notices?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that kind of leads into what we're going to be diving into today, which is this really interesting area of copyright law that deals with like, when is using somebody else's work so small that it doesn't even count as infringement?
It's a fascinating question.
Yeah, and the case that we're going to be looking at is Sandoval versus New Line Cinema, and it's about a photographer, his self-portraits, and the movie Seven.
Oh wow. Seven. That's a classic thriller, right?
It is, yeah, it's a pretty dark movie, actually.
Yeah, I remember it being pretty intense.
So it's interesting to think about like copyright and art and all that kind of stuff in the context of this, like, dark thriller movie.
So basically what happened is this filmmaker used some of this photographer's work in the movie. And the question is, was that use significant enough to be copyright infringement?
Exactly. And the really interesting detail here is that we're not talking about like one photo that's like prominently featured for a long time. We're talking about 10 photos.
Oh, wow, 10.
Yeah, but they were barely visible in the movie.
Oh, so it's like a blink and you miss it kind of
Yeah,
situation.
pretty much. And that's what makes this whole case so fascinating is like, how do you even begin to decide if that's infringement or not,
Right, because on the one hand, you have the photographer who's like, hey, that's my work. You're using it without my permission. But then on the other hand, you have the filmmakers who are like, come on. It's just a tiny detail in the background. Nobody's even going to notice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to try to figure out in this deep dive is when does using copyrighted material become too small, like too trivial to actually be considered copyright infringement?
Yeah, like where do you draw the line?
And the key to understanding all of this is this legal concept called the de minimis doctrine. So get ready to have your minds blown because this stuff is pretty wild.
I'm ready. Let's dive in.
Okay, so first, let's talk about who Jorge Sandoval is. This is the photographer whose work was used in the movie.
Yeah.
He's an artist and a photographer. And between 1991 and 1994, he created this series of 52 unpublished self-portraits.
52. Wow, that's a lot of self-portraits.
Yeah. And these were like his own artistic creations, not just like casual selfies or something.
Yeah, right. These were like his art, you know?
Exactly. And so, of course, he owns the copyright to those photos.
Of course.
So then in 1995, the movie Seven comes out, big budget Hollywood film starring Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman.
Right, yeah. Huge movie.
And somehow 10 of Sandoval's self-portraits end up in this film.
Wow, what, how did that even happen?
Well, they were used as part of the set design, like in a background scene.
Oh, so they weren't like, you know, framed and hanging on the wall or
Yeah,
anything.
no, not at all. They were just kind of like part of the environment.
Like almost like wallpaper or something.
Yeah, kind of, but even more subtle than that because they were really hard to see.
Oh, so it's not like they were the focus of the shot or anything.
No, they were almost always out of focus.
Oh, wow.
The lighting was really dim, so they were kind of obscured by the shadows, and sometimes they were even blocked by the actors or furniture in the scene.
So you're telling me that they use these guys' self-portraits, but like nobody could even really see them.
Yeah, pretty much. Like if you blinked, you probably missed them.
That's crazy.
And when you add up all the little bits of time that the photos are visible, it only comes to about 35 seconds.
35 seconds out of a whole movie.
Exactly. Yeah, so you can see how it would be really hard to argue that this was like a major use of his work.
Right. I mean, come on, 35 seconds.
But still,
Yeah.
Sandoval found out that his copyrighted work was in this movie without his permission,
Right.
and he wasn't happy about it.
I mean, I wouldn't be either.
So he sued New Line Cinema for copyright infringement.
Makes sense.
And this is where things get really interesting.
Okay, listening.
So the first court that heard this case, the district court, they actually sided with New Line Cinema.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, but they didn't say that the use of the photos was insignificant. Like they didn't go the de minimis route. Instead, they said it was fair use.
Oh, so they said it was okay to use the photos even without permission because it fell under this fair use exception.
Exactly. Yeah, basically, they said that using the photos in the background of the movie was okay because it didn't really affect Sandoval's ability to sell his work or anything like that.
Interesting.
But
Love that.
Sandoval wasn't satisfied with that decision, so he appealed to a higher court, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals.
Oh, so he took it to the next level.
Exactly. And this is where the case took a really important turn, because the Second Circuit decided to focus on this concept of de minimis use.
Oh, so that's where the de minimis thing comes in.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this is a really important distinction, because fair use and de minimis use are kind of two different ways of looking at copyright law.
Oh, okay. So what's the difference?
Well, fair use is like a defense to copyright infringement.
Oh.
It's like saying, yeah, I use the copyrighted material, but it's okay because my use falls under these specific rules.
Right. Like I'm allowed to use it for this reason.
Yeah, exactly. And those rules take into account things like why you use the work, how much of it you used, what kind of work it was.
Right.
And whether your use is going to hurt the market for the original work.
Makes sense.
But de minimis use is different. It's not a defense. It's like saying the use of the copyrighted material was so tiny, it doesn't even count as infringement in the first place.
Oh, wow. So it's like below the radar of copyright law.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like saying the copying was so small, it's not even worth talking about.
Hmm. Interesting.
So to understand why the Second Circuit focused on de minimis, we need to remember what someone has to prove to win a copyright infringement case.
Right. What are the elements?
There are three main things a plaintiff has to prove.
Okay.
First, they have to show that they own the copyright to the work.
Right. So they got to prove that they actually created the work.
Exactly. Yeah. Then they have to show that the defendant actually copied their work.
Okay.
Which doesn't necessarily mean like making an exact replica, but it means using the work in some way without permission.
Right.
And finally, the plaintiff has to show that there's substantial similarity between the copy and the original work.
Substantial similarity. So that means like the copy is similar enough to the original that it could be confusing to people.
Exactly. Yeah. Like a reasonable person would look at the two and say, oh, yeah, that's clearly based on the original work.
Okay.
And in the Sandoval case, there wasn't much debate about the first two elements.
Right.
Sandoval clearly owned the copyright to his photos, and New Line Cinema did use those photos in the movie.
Right.
But the big question was whether there was substantial similarity given how hard it was to even see the photos in the film.
Yeah, because if the photos are like blurry and out of focus and stuff, how can you say that they're substantially similar to the originals?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's where the de minimis doctrine comes in, because it basically says if the copying is so minimal, it doesn't even reach that level of substantial similarity.
Right. So it's like, the use was so small, it didn't even cross the line into infringement territory.
Exactly. And if a use is de minimis, the court doesn't even have to consider fair use because it's like not even a copyright issue anymore.
So de minimis is like a get out of jail free card for copyright infringement.
Yeah, pretty much. And so the Second Circuit's approach was basically, let's not even talk about fair use. Let's first figure out if there was enough copying to even worry about copyright in the first place.
Okay, that makes sense.
And to do that, they took a really close look at the scenes from Seven where the photos appeared.
Like really close.
Yeah.
Like frame by frame.
Wow. They actually watched the movie frame by frame.
They did, which I think shows how seriously they were taking this issue. You know?
That's pretty impressive.
And what they found was that the photos were consistently blurry and dark and often obscured by other things in the scene. Right. Like you said, the actors or furniture blocking the view.
Exactly. And the judge who wrote the court's opinion, Judge Telesca, he said that an average viewer watching the movie wouldn't even be able to tell what the photos were of.
Wow. So not only were they not substantially similar to the originals,
yeah,
they weren't even recognizable as photographs at all.
Yeah, pretty much. And that was a really important point for the court because it showed that the use of the photos was so minimal, it didn't really affect Sandoval's rights in any meaningful way.
Right. Like nobody was going to look at those blurry images in the background of Seven and think, oh, that's Jorge Sandoval's work.
Exactly. Yeah. And we talked about the Ringgold case earlier, which is kind of a good contrast to this one.
Yeah. Remind me about that case again.
So in Ringgold, a copyrighted quilt was used as set decoration in a TV show.
Good.
But unlike the photos in Sandoval, the quilt was clearly visible on screen for a good amount of time.
Oh, so people could actually see it and recognize it.
Yeah. And the court in that case did find that it was copyright infringement.
That makes sense.
So the difference between the two cases really comes down to how obvious and how prominent the copyrighted work is in the new context.
Right. Like, is it just a fleeting background detail or is it something that stands out and people are going to notice?
Exactly. Yeah. And the court in Sandoval said that if you can't even really see the copyrighted work, then it's hard to argue that there's substantial similarity.
Yeah, because if nobody even knows what they're looking at, how can you say it's copying the original?
Exactly. And so the Second Circuit ultimately ruled that the use of Sandoval's photos in Seven was de minimis.
So they said it wasn't copyright infringement.
Exactly. Yeah, they said it was too small to even be considered a copyright issue.
Wow.
And that meant they didn't even have to think about fair use because de minimis is like a separate category altogether.
So de minimis trumps fair use.
Yeah, pretty much. And so the case was dismissed.
Interesting.
So what does all this mean for filmmakers and other creators? What are the practical implications of this ruling?
Well, it basically means that if you're using copyrighted material in the background of your work and it's really fleeting and nobody's going to notice it, then you might be okay.
Yeah, like it might be considered de minimis.
Exactly. But it's important to remember that this is just one case.
Yeah.
And the facts of each case are going to be different.
Right. So this isn't like a blanket rule that says you can always use other people's work without permission as long as it's in the background.
Right. It's more nuanced than that.
Yeah. And it's always best to err on the side of caution and get permission if you can.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think this case does give creators some breathing room. You know, it recognizes that not every use of copyrighted material is a big deal.
Right. It's like a common sense approach to copyright law.
Exactly. And what about for artists and photographers like Sandoval? What does this ruling mean for them?
Well, it kind of highlights the challenges that they face in protecting their work, especially when it's used in a very minor way.
Right. Like if someone uses your work, but it's so small and insignificant that it's considered de minimis, you might not have much recourse.
Exactly. And that can be frustrating for artists who feel like their work is being used without their consent, even if it's just a tiny bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I think the key takeaway here is that context is everything.
Yeah.
How clear and recognizable is the original work in the new context? That's the question the courts are going to be asking.
Right. So if you're an artist and you're worried about your work being used without permission, you want to make sure that it's presented in a way that's clear and identifiable.
Yeah. Like you don't want your work to just blend into the background and become unrecognizable.
Exactly. Yeah. And all this makes me think about our digital world, you know, with memes and TikTok videos and all that.
Right. Like, does de minimis apply to that stuff, too?
Yeah. Like, what if someone uses a few seconds of copyrighted music in their Instagram story, or they use a tiny clip from a movie in a meme?
Good question.
Is that de minimis or is it still copyright infringement?
Well, that's a really tricky area because the law is still developing in that space.
Right.
But I think the same principles would apply. You know, the court would look at how obvious and prominent the copyrighted work is in the new context.
Yeah.
And they would also consider the purpose of the use and whether it's harming the market for the original work.
Right. So there's no easy answer. It really depends on the specifics of each case.
Exactly. And I think we're going to see a lot more cases like this in the future as digital content creation continues to explode.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because it's so easy to just grab a piece of content online and use it in your own work.
Yeah.
So the courts are going to have to figure out where to draw the line between fair use, de minimis, and infringement.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, this has been a really fascinating deep dive into the de minimis doctrine.
I agree.
The Sandoval case is a great example of how this concept works in practice.
And it shows how copyright law is trying to strike a balance between protecting creators' rights and allowing for creative freedom.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think the big takeaway here is that sometimes in copyright law, a very small amount of use might not be infringement at all.
Right, it's all about context and perspective.
So next time you're watching a movie or browsing online, maybe you'll think about the de minimis doctrine and how it might apply to the things you're seeing.
Yeah, I think that's a great takeaway for our listeners.
Hey, thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
It was a pleasure being here.
We'll see you next time.
See you later.